Our two readings today reflect the two main strands of our thoughts on this Sunday when we celebrate Christ the King. Both were written by John, the disciple John. In John 18, Jesus declares before Pilate that he is indeed the King of the Jews, but not just the King of the Jews, and his kingdom is not of this world. And in Revelation 1, John speaks of who Jesus is, what he has done, and the second coming of Jesus, the event we are still waiting for. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. The conversation between Jesus and Pilate is quite powerful and quite awesome. William Barclay wrote that first and foremost, no one can read this story without seeing the sheer majesty of Jesus. There is no sense that it is Jesus who is on trial. The tables have been turned, and it is more like the questioner Pilate who is being tested. Jesus had a knack of turning people's questions back against themselves when he was challenged and people thought they had manoeuvred him into a corner. Pilate would have had to deal with a lot of criminals and rogues and terrorists in his time, but there must have been something different, something special about Jesus, because he had Jesus brought into his palace so that he could have this conversation about truth and kingship. Pilate was unable to treat Jesus with the arrogance and the contempt that he usually had for the Jewish people. You can see that he is bewildered and floundering and not quite understanding what is happening. And Jesus is direct and he holds nothing back. Yes, I am a king. I was born a king. This is why I came into the world, to bring God's truth to the world. But I don't reign in this world. It's a supernatural kingdom that I reign in. Barclay also wrote, the majesty of Jesus never shone more radiantly than in the hour when he was on trial before the world. Pilate thought he had the power over who would live and die. He had the power to bring Jesus' kingship to an end by ordering or allowing his death. But it was actually quite the opposite. Jesus had already fought and won one battle for kingship and would soon win the final battle. Because 3 years previously, he had been in the wilderness before his ministry began, and he was tempted by the devil. And the devil took him up to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, if you worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms and you can become king. Jesus was promised something by the devil that the devil couldn't give him. But he won it for himself by going to the cross. The victory was claimed by Jesus himself on Easter Sunday when he rose again. The temptation in the wilderness and the trial before Pilate were just two challenges on Jesus' path to claim the crown and open the gates of the kingdom of heaven to everyone. Jesus is still on trial before the world. People are still asking, was this man the Son of God? Was he Christ the King? Is he the Savior of the world? Should I follow him? As Jesus himself said, he came to witness to the truth about God, the truth about our lives, the truth about the world. He often said, very often said, that he came from God the Father. And he even said that if you've seen me, you've seen God. You've seen God if you've seen me. And so the days of guessing and groping and wondering are gone. Jesus told the truth. We can either reject it or we can accept it. We can welcome Christ or we can turn him away. There is no halfway house. An atheist has rejected God and the truth about Jesus. He might believe in other gods or no gods, or in humanism or in nothing, but he's rejected the gift of eternal life in Jesus. An agnostic seems like a softer option. He or she hasn't quite made up his or her mind, but there are doubts and questions and skepticism, and this person is sitting on the fence. And the bottom line is, he or she is still not a believer. There is an urgency here, folks, an urgency to come off the fence, an urgency to share the truth with our friends and neighbours. Look, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. That picture of Jesus coming from the clouds comes from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, and I think we still have the words on our prayer room wall. In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and honour, and people of every language, every nation worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. For Christians, Christ's coming again is a time of rejoicing and fulfilment and promise, maybe a certain trepidation as well, but it is full of promise. But to others, it is a threatening idea. John says, every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. At one level, John is referring to the people he saw pierce and crucify Jesus, because he was at the foot of the cross that day and saw it with his own eyes. But he's also referring to people through all generations who have stood against Jesus and opposed Jesus. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And he went further in his letter to Romans when he said the same thing, every knee will bow, therefore each one must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God. Challenging words indeed. Are you prepared for Jesus coming back? If he comes this afternoon, are you ready? If he comes before the end of this service, are you ready? Jesus talks about the final coming as being sudden and unexpected. In Matthew 24, he talks about two people working in a field, and one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women grinding grain, and one will be taken and the other left. And Jesus said, that is why you must stay alert, because no one knows the day when the Lord will come. In Luke 17, two people are lying asleep in bed, just an ordinary night. And one will be taken and the other will be left. Two women working together in household chores, one will be taken and the other left. Two people on a bus and one will be taken and the other left. Two people in an office, two people shopping, two people playing football or tennis, one will be taken and the other will be left. Jesus said, in the day of my appearing, if one is outside, he won't even have time to go back to the house to gather his belongings. And those toiling in the field won't have time to run back home. We don't know exactly what it will be like when Jesus returns, but it will be powerful and supernatural and overwhelming. It says further in Revelation, John's vision, shortly after our reading today, John said, when I turned, I saw someone like a son of man, wearing a full-length robe with a gold sash over his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as glistening snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were gleaming like bright metal, as though they were glowing in a fire, and his voice was like the roar of many rushing waters. His face was shining like the brightness of the blinding sun. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as good as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, and I heard his reassuring voice say, do not be afraid. I am the beginning and the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever. When Jesus comes again, it won't be as a tiny newborn babe in a stable. He won't come quietly and meekly. He won't be visible only to a few, but to many. Paul said to the Thessalonians, the Lord himself will appear with the declaration of victory, the shout of an archangel and the trumpet blast of God. But if he's not coming back yet, if it's not today, are you ready to follow him now in the path that he's calling you to? There are many things that prevent people from accepting Christ and following his way. Many people in the Western world are wealthy and comfortable and living happy lives, and they see no need for a saviour. It's not an accident that the church is growing most in those places of most need, places where people are crying out to God and the church is exploding in size. We see a different picture here in the Western world, which is comfortable. Some people have lived sinful lives and feel that God could not possibly love them or accept them. They don't realize that all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and he came for people just like them. The gift of forgiveness is freely offered by Jesus to every sinner. The last couple of generations in this country know little about Christianity, beyond a baby born in a stable and some angels and shepherds and kings and maybe a cross and Easter eggs, but they don't know what Christianity actually means. We should feel a sense of urgency to share the good news of salvation with the lost generations. And I know from visiting people that some have been turned away from Christianity by bad experiences of church and of religion. People say they've been made to feel uncomfortable or unwelcome or inadequate when they come into a church. I'm not speaking about this church, I'm speaking about church generally. We must be aware of how people view us as individuals and as a church. One lady spoke to us on a Thursday morning when the church is open for an hour for a drop-in, and said that she had not been able to come to church and had walked past on many Sundays and felt drawn but not able to come in the door. But she came on that Thursday and sat in a pew and shared with us, and we prayed with her. There are people out there who are drawn, and we need to find ways of actually opening our doors to these people. There was a thing on Facebook the other day, and I wasn't sure if I would use it or not, but I used Eckhart Newton, so here it is. And the thing on Facebook said, how many dogs does it take to change a light bulb? You know these things, how many, whatever does it take to change a light bulb? And it related to a lot to people and how they react to the good news or otherwise. So it said the golden retriever it would say, the sun is shining, the day is young, we've got our whole lives ahead of us. Why would we go in and bother about a light bulb? So that's the kind of the wealthy and the comfortable who, you know, don't bother me with that. The Dashan says, you know, I can't reach that stupid lamp. You know, some people feel that God is just so far up there and unattainable, you just can't possibly reach him. And yet God is down here. Jesus is down here in this place right now. The Rottweiler says, make me. And in fact, you know, Jesus will not make us. Jesus will not force us. It is a choice that we take. We have free will, and it's a choice that we make. People came to Jesus and they said, how can I be born again and receive the Holy Spirit? And Jesus would explain, and they would think, well, I don't really want to do that. I'm too wealthy. One young man was very wealthy and wouldn't give away what he had, and walked away. And Jesus didn't run after them and pull them back and say, you must believe. They had a choice to walk away if they wanted to. The Jack Russell says, I'll just pop it in while I'm bouncing off the walls and the furniture. If you've got a Jack Russell, you know what that's like. Some people are so frantic and frenetic and, you know, all over the place and never sit calmly enough to even think about bigger things like, you know, who's God? They're literally bouncing off the walls and the furniture. The Old English Sheepdog says, light bulb? I'm sorry, I can't see a light bulb at all. And for a lot of people, they just can't see it. There is nothing out there that they can visibly see that would lead them to Jesus. The Cocker Spaniel says, why change it? I can still pee in the carpet in the dark. Sorry if you've got a Cocker Spaniel. But you know, people are happy in the dark and in their sin, and why would they want to put a light on that and show up sides of their lives that they might need to change? So they're quite happy to be in the dark. There are others, but the Border Collie's the winner. He's the one that says, just me, I can do it. And while I'm doing it, I'll also fix the light switch and fix the wiring. You know, the Collie's right in there. I can do it. Just me, let me do it. And the Lab says, me, please, please, me. You know, Labradors are just me, 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 pleasing you. And there are people, yeah, just please, let it be me that you call to follow you, Lord Jesus. And I quite like the German Shepherd because I have a big one. And German Shepherd says, I'll change it as soon as I've led these people from the dark, checked to make sure I haven't missed anybody, and gone round the perimeter to make sure nobody's been breaking in the dark. The German Shepherd's looking after everybody else. And if you've got one, you know that he just tries to round up when you're out for a walk, everybody in sight. But he still changes the light bulbs. So that's a good one. You see, there are many people of all ages in our society who feel spiritually empty, and they're seeking something more, something real, something that is authentic. And there's an interest in spiritual matters, alternative religion, New Age experiences, meditation, and we want them to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. The Guild theme this year is seeking the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If on your journey you have found Jesus, then continue to walk in the way, confident that at the end of that walk you will receive the crown from the King of Kings. You will receive the crown. And if you've not yet opened the door to let Jesus into your heart, then know that he is knocking on that door today. I picked up this little thing in Keswick this year, and it's a door that's the shape of a heart. And the door can only be opened from the inside. There's no knob on the outside for Jesus to open it and go in. You have to open that door and let Jesus into your heart. And on the basis, the inscription from Revelation 3, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we shall share a meal together as friends. Amen.